Hello, hello, hello.
We're continuing today with our study through the prophets, and you cannot teach or preach on the prophets with collars that are closed. You got to roll up your sleeves if you're going to talk about the prophets. And the prophet that we're going to be journeying through these next few weeks or so, it's going to be tough. Amos isn't a prophet for the lighthearted. If you consider yourself to be sensitive, Amos is gonna challenge you. Amos is going to prick at your heart, no matter where you're at on the faith journey. If you're on the younger brother, Amos is gonna challenge you. If you're on the older brother box, you betcha he's gonna challenge you. If you're on the Micah 6:8 box, you don't escape his challenge either. Amos is going to challenge us over these next few weeks. And I pray that we have ears for Amos's words. I pray that we are willing to wrestle with and to grapple with these words that come from Amos. Because they're going to stretch us. They are going to challenge us. Music has this unique prophetic tone to it. Not all music has a prophetic tone to it. I can think of a dozen country songs just off the top of my head that have no prophetic tune whatsoever. I can think of tons of modern music that definitely have no prophetic tone to it. But there is some music that has this prophetic tone. There are select artists and select songs from certain music genres that get under your skin and irritate you. Thus, the job of a prophet, to get under your skin and to irritate you. If you're comfortable, a prophet is going to do that. He's going to get under your skin. He's going to irritate you. He's going to make you think. And there are some music that have this prophetic tone to it that gets you to thinking about life and identity and purpose. Some music, of course, is just for entertainment purposes, but some music has another level of impact that causes you to question status quos and so-called realities of life. Well, this just is the way that it is. And there is some music that says, no, 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 it's not that way. It was never meant to be that way. I don't know how many of you have kind of hardcore feelings about Bob Dylan, but he has a song called God With Us, or When God Is On Your Side, that speaks to and out of the prophet Amos. If there was a song that said this is the song that Amos speaks out of, it's Bob Dylan's When God Is On Our Side. It is a song for the prophet Amos. And some of the opening lines from this prophetic series that we started a few months back, I want to remind us of to kind of get re-caught up with what the prophets are trying to do, with what they're trying to invite us into. They use language and they have this intent that they're trying to get our attention. They're trying to wake us up. And my question today as we transition into Amos is the same for when we journey through Micah, and that is, how are we going to hear Amos? Are we willing to allow Amos to speak to us, even though it's going to sting a little? Are we willing to let Amos speak to us, even though it's going to sting? Are you going to hear Amos's righteous enthusiasm? Are you going to hear Amos with anger and fear? Are you going to hear Amos with apathy? Nah, I don't care what Amos has to say about life. I don't care what Amos has to say about God. I don't care what Amos has to say about justice, about truth, about righteousness. I don't care what Amos has to say about that. Or are we going to be apathetic towards Amos? How are we going to allow Amos to speak into our lives? For you see, the language of Amos is luminous. It is explosive. It is firm and contingent. It is strong, and Amos is not so compassionate. We get a little bit of it in chapter 7, but not much. Thus why Amos stings so much. His words did, and they will shine. His words did, and they will burn. This prophet is intent on intensifying responsibility. Amos, as a prophet, has grown impatient of excuse of God's people. And the same for all the prophets. And we're going to see there is this threefold rhythm to Amos. There is judgment, there is lament, and there is hope. Not a whole lot of compassion, but yet there's hope. Judgment, lament, hope. Judgment, lament, hope. We're going to see that and feel that as we journey through Amos. But also there is this wake-up bomb that goes off in Amos' words, where Amos is trying to awaken a movement within God's people. All the prophets are trying to do that. I hope you guys sense that as we journey through Micah. This wake-up bomb that goes off for us to see Micah 6, 8. For us to pay attention to the younger brothers and the younger brother and the older brothers. Not only in ourselves, but of those around us, those in our neighborhood. The prophets send off a wake-up bomb that is to awaken a movement within the people of God. So as we begin, I want to remind us of Micah 6, verse 8, that hopefully we all know by heart, but if you don't, hopefully by the end of this you will. He has shown you, O mortal, what is what? Good. He has shown all of you people. I like the word mortal because it puts us in perspective. He has shown all you mortals what is good. And what does the Lord, what of you? Require. What is the Lord asking of us? What is the Lord seeking from us? What does the Lord require of us? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. But for Amos, there's a different tone going on. If you don't have your Bibles, I would encourage you to grab one of ours. I didn't exactly get the page number like I sometimes do. I dropped the ball on that and I apologize. If somebody would grab one of our Bibles underneath the seat and just kind of call out the page number that Amos is on for any among us who doesn't have Scripture, and that's okay. If you don't, that's all right. The passages will be on the screen. But when you find Amos in one of our Bibles, just please call out the page number. And what is it, Ms. Paulette? 647. So if you don't have a Bible and you need to use one of ours, Amos is on 647. But Amos has a different tone. And I want to begin our study with Amos chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. And the passages will be on the screen as well. The words of Amos, one of the shepherds of Tekoa. The vision he saw concerning Israel 2 years before the earthquake, when Hazael was king of Judah and Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, was king of Israel. And this is what Amos has to say. And this is the tone setting from Amos. The Lord roars from Zion. You guys sense that? I tried to find a good lion roar to come along with it, but I just didn't find one that would work. The Lord roars from Zion. You feel the tension right from the get-go. And he thunders from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds dry up and the top of Carmel withers. It begins with this roar, with this thunder. And the intent and purpose of roars and thunders to get your attention. There is authority around. There is passion around. There is strength around. There is fear around as well. Because something or someone who is strong and who is powerful has something to say. But at the same time, with Micah 6:8, For Amos, we have similar language, but said differently. Micah chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say He is. Thus, I catch a little bit of Bob Dylan's "When God Is on Our Side." Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God will be on your side, just like you say that He is. Verse 15, hate evil, love good, maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Jacob, of Joseph. And then you have the shocking language in verses 21 through 27, which we will spend a whole lot more time in this week. But I just want you to hear this language, and over the next week to wrestle with it, to allow it to challenge you. Hear this word from the Lord. I hate, I despise your religious festivals. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the wilderness, house of Israel? Which is a rhetorical question, because Israel should have known this, especially Israel's leaders. And the answer is what? No. No, you did not bring God offerings while you were traveling through the desert, O house of Israel. No, you didn't. You have lifted up the shrine of your king, the pedestal of your idols, the star of your God, which you made for yourself. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is God Almighty. All of these verses have a context. There is a why to this what. And it does not begin in chapter 1 of Amos. It actually begins in chapter 7, verses 10 through 17. This is kind of a piece of the historical context of what Amos is really getting at. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel. Now real quick, we've got the southern kingdom, and we have the northern kingdom. In the southern kingdom, you have the capital city of Jerusalem, which is where the temple of the Lord was. The split kingdom at the time. Those 10 tribes in the northern kingdom, they didn't necessarily want anything to do with the southern kingdom. They definitely didn't want to have to travel to the south to go worship Yahweh at the temple. So what the religious leaders, what the kings did, what the priests allowed during that particular time in history, is we'll set up our own places of worship. We'll set up one in Dan in the northern part, and we'll set up one in the south at Bethel. So anybody in between, you've got a place to go worship if you want to go worship. You don't have to go all the way down to Jerusalem to worship Yahweh. You can go to Bethel, or you can go to Dan, and you will be just fine. That's the part of the religious atmosphere that was going on during this time in Israel's history. So when you read chapter 7, verse 10, then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, you're like, well, why? Okay. Sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. So Amos is calling out the politics of the time. He's calling out the king. He's calling out the politics. Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile, away from their native land. Then Amaziah, as he kind of courages up himself a little bit, steps up to Amos and says, "Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and this is the temple of the kingdom." And Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor the disciple of a prophet. I didn't go to prophet school. I don't have a prophet degree on my wall. I was a shepherd. And I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go. Go. Prophesy to my people Israel.' Now then, when you hear the word of the Lord, you say, 'Do not prophesy against Israel. Stop preaching against the house of Isaac.' Therefore, thus saith the Lord, 'Your wife will become a prostitute in the city. Your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured up and divided up. And you yourself will die in a pagan country. And Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land.'" Book slam, mic dropped. Amos walks off. You guys sense the harshness of this? Needless to say, this is tough Bible. This is not easy stuff for us to read and for us to wrestle with, but we're going to. And the first thing that I want us to pay attention to is Amos's words and calling were not for sale. Amaziah could not get Amos to stop because Amos's words were not for sale. His calling as a prophet of God were not for sale. They were not for sale. His voice for justice and righteousness were not for sale. His voice for what is good and for what is evil were not for sale. His ethics and his morals between what is right and what is wrong were not for sale. No trend, no political persuasion, no popularity, no fear of what may come. His words were not for sale. We have to ask ourselves and we have to look in the mirror and individually and collectively as a church family, are we for sale? Are our ethics and our morals for sale? Our stand on justice and righteousness, are they for sale? Are we for sale? So as we begin this particular prophet's words, today we will journey rather quickly. We will journey rather quickly through Amos chapters 1 and 2. We're not going to read necessarily a whole lot of 1 and 2. I invite you guys to journey along with us over these next few weeks and read Amos and question Amos and get in an argument with Amos. Some of the best books you will ever read are those that you're going to disagree with, because it challenges you to think, challenges you to wrestle with them a little bit. Now, on our Facebook page, we will post one of the Bible Project videos on Amos, which are always good and always worth watching. So be paying attention to that over the next day or two. Amos, as a shepherd and a dresser of fig trees, was a somewhat wealthy farmer. In order to have that type of job, you're somewhat wealthy. You got to have a little bit of land. So he's a wealthy farmer. He's a businessman from the southern kingdom of Judah. Amos 1:1 tells us he's from this town called Tekoa, which is a little bit south of Jerusalem. And he's sent to the northern kingdom, where just like Jonah, there was a nationalistic pride to the people. There was plenty and there was splendor in the land. There was elegance in the cities. And there was might in the palaces. The rich had their summer and winter palaces adorned with costly ivory, gorgeous couches with pillows from Damascus, on which they reclined at their sumptuous feasts. They planted pleasant vineyards, anointed themselves with precious oils. Their women, as Amos describes them later on in the book, they're pretty self-centered. And some of the language that Amos uses is really embarrassing. And he also throws in that they were addicted to wine. At the same time, with all of this land of plenty going on, with this abundance in the land, there was no justice in the land. The poor were afflicted, they were exploited, even sold into slavery, and the judges were corrupt. So for the first two chapters of Amos, they begin not with a whisper, like we recognized a few minutes ago, not a still small voice that you get from 1 Kings chapter 19 with Elijah. Not so with Amos. With Amos, it begins with a voice like a lion's roaring that drives shepherd and flock in panic. And it dries up the luscious fields as the echo of the roar spreads out through the land. So what had provoked so much of the anger of the Lord that we sense here in Amos? The answer is given in an account of events that happened in the world in which Amos was a part of. And two things that I want us to pay attention to stand out in the prophet's call of judgment. The first one is this absence of loyalty in the absence of care. When it's all said and done, it's just this absence of I just don't care. If it don't bother me, which isn't an issue in today's day and age, right? That's not something. If it don't affect me, then I don't care what happens, right? Amos speaks against that. Not only does he call the leaders out on that, he calls God's people out on that. There is this absence of loyalty and there's this absence of care. Amos begins by calling out neighboring nations. Chapter 1 leading into chapter 2 is this calling out of the nations. That any Israelite audience would have been like, yeah, God is going to get them. He's like Jonah on the hillside waiting for the nuke to fall from the sky. That's how the audience would have heard Amos 1 and into a little bit of chapter 2. Tyre had violated a treaty to which they would have said, yes, they have. God, get them. Edom pursued after his brother Israel with a sword, and they would have said, yes, they did. God's gonna get them. Syria, ruled from its capital in Damascus, had tortured and slaughtered the people of Gilead, and Israel would have said, oh, God, get them for that injustice. Seek justice. Get them. Philistia, ruled from Gaza, its capital, carried a whole people into captivity, selling them into slavery. God, get them. In order to make some money, how the Ammonites had done such horrific acts in order to annex a strip of territory. God, do something. Get them. Eliminate them. Do something. He ends with Moab, how they had burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime, to which Israel would have said, ew, okay, God, get them. That's nasty. Do something about that. You guys sense, hear it? This act of vandalism had not even the poor excuse of being profitable. The act was simply nothing but the gratification of hate. But the roaring doesn't end with him calling out the neighbors. The roaring doesn't end with the calling out of some of Israel's most hated enemies. The roaring doesn't end there. There is this brief calling out of the southern kingdom of Judah, the first fruits of Judah's eventual downfall 180 years later. Think about that. It begins, and then 180 years later is when the southern kingdom eventually goes into exile. And for Israel, Amos calls out six injustices. Six injustices that Jeroboam, whose story is in 2 Kings 14, tells Amos to keep his mouth shut about. These six injustices, Jeroboam says, I have no ears for this, Amos. Go do your prophesying somewhere else. We have no ears for it here in Israel. We're all good because God is on our side. Have you seen our temples in Bethel and Dan? God is on our side. We have no ears for this, Amos. Go back home. The first one is this. You sell the innocent for silver. There's human trafficking going on. You sell the needy for a pair of sandals. You trample the heads of the poor. You deny justice to the oppressed. You abuse in this wicked perversion. You abuse women who have been bought through the means of slavery. The sixth one, you have no care of concern for those in by keeping something given as a promise payment, by cuddling up to the God that they had given their allegiance to. The sixth one was this social thing where if somebody in need needed to borrow something from you, they would give you almost like a promise. I promise I'm going to pay you back. Here's my blanket. Here's my cloak. Here's something I need to be kept warm at night with. And the law, according to Deuteronomy, was if somebody gives you that on a good pledge, you give it back to them. Something simple, right? Something simple. And Amos says, you have forgotten even a little bit of the heart of the law. You reject, you ignore these types of things. Hard stuff, right, guys? Not easy stuff for us to wrestle with. But it's there, and it's there for a purpose. The prophets are to awaken us to our calling and to our identity as people belonging to Yahweh God. So, how do I, we, us hear this word from Amos? This word from the Lord. Two things I want us to take home with us today. The first one is kind of obvious. If you were just to walk away from chapter 1 going into chapter 2, God is the Lord of all nations. That's just kind of the well duh type of thing about this, but it's true. God is the Lord of all nations, and He is not apathetic towards the goings on of the nations. He does care. Kind of the title of this two-part series that I'm doing for Amos, and David will pick up in a few weeks with another direction for Amos. But terrible is His voice because He cares. I don't think there's any of us that want to serve a God who doesn't care. I don't think there's a single one of us in this room that want to worship a God that doesn't care about the goings-on of the nations, that doesn't have a heart for those who are oppressed, to those who are hurting. There's not a single one of us that want to worship a God like that. And the great thing is that we don't. We serve and we worship a God who cares, who is the Lord, who is the boss of all nations. North Korea, Mexico, Russia, Canada, these United States. God is the Lord of all nations, even if that nation doesn't recognize God as Lord. That doesn't somehow discredit God's sovereignty over the nation. Second one is this. There is a living God who cares. There is a living God who cares. And not just cares, but passionately cares. There is a God who passionately cares about the younger brothers. There is a God who passionately cares about His people living into and living out of Micah 6:8. There is a God that passionately cares about His people living into and living out of Amos chapter 5, verse 14. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. Justice is more than an idea or a norm. Justice is a divine concern. Righteousness is a divine concern. What obtains between God and His people is not only a covenant of mutual obligations that God's people are to live in and to live out of, but it is a relationship of mutual concern. God, break my heart for what? What breaks yours? God, what do you care about? Because I want to care about those same things. The message of God is not an impersonal accusation, but the message of a Redeemer who is pained by the misdeeds, the abuses, the apathy, and the thanklessness of those whom He has redeemed. Here again is another why to the what of do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with our God. Very quickly, look at Amos 2:10 through 12. I brought you up out of Egypt and led you 40 years in the wilderness to give you the land of the Amorites. I also raised up prophets from among your children and Nazarites among your youth. I've given you all that you need. I rescued you. I gave you messengers. I gave you holy people. I gave you people with which to be an example by. Is this not true, people of Israel? But you made the Nazarites drink wine and commanded the prophets not to prophesy. Is this not true, people of God? Hey, Jared, you can come on back up, brother. Sounds an awful lot like Micah 6, verses 3 through 5, which we looked at some time ago. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you and also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. And God's answer to this, our answer to this, He has shown all you people what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Stand with me, please. As Jared and the praise team leads us in our final song, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond, if there's anyone here this morning that needs prayer, If there's anyone here this morning that is really troubled by Amos and say, I've experienced this, or I know of somebody else who has experienced some of this hardship, don't leave here this morning silent. Allow us to pray with you. Allow us to discern with you. Allow us to journey alongside you with this. Because God does not want us to be alone. And there is plenty of injustice in this world that you can feel like an outcast. And you can feel alone. But you do not have to be. May we continue to pursue, to seek after, to live into and to live out of the story of God's amazing love and rescue operation and the calling to be His people. Let's sing together.
Hide me away, O Lord.
Hide me away, O
Lord. Hide me away, O
Lord.
In the day of trouble, neath the shadow of your wings. Hide me away, O Lord. Give me your peace, O Lord. Give me your peace, O Lord. In the day of trouble, neath the shadow of your wings. Give me your peace, O Lord. Safe in your dwelling place. Safe in your dwelling place. In the day of trouble, neath the shadow of your wings, safe in your dwelling place. So hide me away, O Lord. Hide me away, O Lord. In the day of trouble, neath the shadow of your wings, hide me away, O Lord. Hide me away, O Lord. Hide me away, O Lord.
Be dismissed with this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. To Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore, world without end. Amen.